Well, let's bring the news latest political editor, Sam McBride, in this morning. Morning to you, Sam.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. So you've been saying, I believe over the weekend, that, look, the DUP has a big decision to make as to what type of Brexit they want. We've just heard Jim Wells say that nobody wants a no-deal Brexit. So what way do you think the DUP are going to swing in this?
Well, it's a huge decision for the party, and really a bit like Jeremy Corbyn, they have been putting it off and putting it off. They're very clear as to what they don't want out of Brexit. It's much harder to pin them down on what they actually want. We have Arlene Foster several months ago saying to the Times newspaper that really she was not prescriptive about what Brexit should look like. As long as her one red line, which is no border in the Irish Sea, is met, she is logically then open to anything. And the two types of Brexit which are guaranteed, I think, at this point not to transgress that one red line of introducing more checks between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK are the hardest of all Brexits. That is a no-deal Brexit where the UK leaves as a single entity. There will be the very real potential for some hardening of the border at the Irish border, and that's why there's so much concern about that. But there would be no border internally for the UK. So that would meet Arlene Foster's red line. The other form of Brexit that would meet Arlene Foster's red line is the softest of all Brexits, so the polar opposite of that. And yet there has been very little clarity from the DUP leadership, very little willingness to publicly engage with this issue as to what they actually want. We saw a big report last week on Friday in the Times newspaper again, where they were quoting, I think, two senior DUP sources saying that really they were open potentially to a softer form of Brexit. Arlene Foster was very quickly out to give the impression that she was rubbishing that story, but she actually wasn't rubbishing that story because she couldn't, because she herself has said that she is open to really anything as long as it does not transgress her one red line. So a huge call for the party, because there are massive difficulties potentially for the party if there is a no-deal Brexit, if that inflames nationalist sentiment within Northern Ireland.
Is the DUP split in this?
Well, I think there is definitely a tension within the party. I do not think that we're at the stage where this is something that is going to split the party or anything like that. But you have people like Sammy Wilson, Ian Paisley Jr., who have given the very clear impression that they're at the very least relaxed about a no-deal Brexit. Ian Paisley Jr. Just over a year ago was on Nigel Farage's radio phone-in programme on LBC and was very bullish about the idea of no-deal Brexit. And that is not what the DUP leadership is saying. That is not what people like Geoffrey Donaldson are intimating, and some interesting comments from him on Twitter over the weekend where he was calling for an end to megaphone diplomacy on both sides and saying that we need political maturity from all of us. Now, that is quite pointed, given that some of the headiest rhetoric, if you like, has come from some of his party colleagues. So there's definitely a tension here within the party, but I think the thing which they cannot know is, A, whether their votes will count in the House of Commons, whether, as my colleague Ben Laurie was arguing in the newsletter at the weekend, really, the DUP are potentially, despite their critical importance to propping up the government, on this issue, the 10 votes are actually superseded by moderate Tories, by moderate Labour voices, and that potentially that's where Theresa May goes.
So Jim Wells, you're very much your own man within the DUP, and we get that. You certainly don't speak for the senior leadership of the DUP, but can you give us any insight? Do you know if there is a split in your party? And what's your read, Jim, of where your party stands in this, a hard or a soft Brexit?
Oh, Stephen, you're absolutely correct. I don't speak for the leadership. But secondly, could I say, I've been in the party 43 years and I've never known us as unified on this issue or any issue since the Anglo-Irish Agreement of 1985.
Right. So what is that unified position, a hard or a soft Brexit?
That unified position is that we leave Europe on exactly the same basis as the rest of the United Kingdom.
Hard or soft?
Well, I think Arlene again has made it very clear that a soft Brexit is not on. I don't know what Sam's been doing for the last couple of days, because Arlene's been very clear. A soft Brexit's not on. And secondly, the Norway model is certainly most definitely not on, because that means that we end up paying a huge subvention to the European Union. It means we're rule takers rather than rule makers, and we have no control over our borders.
So what is on?
Immigration. What is on, as I believe, is the sort of options that are being discussed by Theresa May at the moment. Apparently, she has made an offer of a bilateral agreement with the Irish Republic where we can deal with the issues about a hard border without having a backstop. Now, that I haven't seen the text of that, but it sounds eminently reasonable. And it's being rejected because, of course, headmaster...
Simon Coveney has shot that down. No bilaterals.
Yeah, because headmaster in Brussels and Strasbourg has said, we will not let you enter into mutually beneficial deals outside the ambit of the European Union. But that gets around the difficulty.
Right, so that's not going to happen then.
Well, again, all that the UK can do is to be extremely reasonable in its offers. Because, Stephen, if it isn't an issue about preventing a hard border, then the suspicion is, in fact, it's an issue about constitutional change. In other words, that Simon Coveney and the Irish government want to keep us in the waiting room for constitutional change, and we aren't going to sign up to that.
I think that when Jim says that Arlene Foster has ruled out said that she would not accept a soft Brexit, that will be news to Arlene Foster because she was very clear to the Times newspaper. This was around the time of the DUP conference in late 2018, just a couple of months ago, that when she was asked clearly on the record by two of the Times leading reporters whether there was clarity as to what the DUP wanted out of Brexit, she said, "I'm not prescriptive," and she said that her one red line was that the UK leaves as one. Jim is absolutely right about that. That is what unifies the party. What does not unify the party is how the DUP UK leaves the EU. So you can leave the EU as one entity in one of two very clear ways, very closely tied to the EU or completely cut off from the EU. And I think those are two options which Mrs. Foster has pointedly left open. She has not come out to say that she would not accept a very soft Brexit. It's clear that her preference or her party's preference is to leave the customs union and the single market. Nigel Dawes has been very clear about that, but they have not said that those are red lines. And if they're not red lines, if there's only one red line, then logically those are both on the table.
Yeah, but Sam, you've forgotten that the party would also be very amenable to something like a Canada Plus deal, which is the best of all worlds. And the point I keep coming back to on Stephen's programme is that Europe can't allow us out on Canada Plus, because if we did, other countries who are Eurosceptic would think, well, hold on here, why should we have the bureaucracy of Europe if we can get out on a very favourable deal like Canada Plus? And I think the party would coalesce around that type of arrangement. But I think if you read the media over the weekend, it's quite clear Ireland said a soft Brexit isn't on and a Norway model isn't on.
Well, I mean, it'll be very interesting to see exactly what she says about that this week. But, I mean, certainly my impression from watching this over the last couple of years has been that that has not been something that has been clearly said as a red line. It might be a preference, but the language here, as you know, Jim, is very important. The DUP are masters of being careful of how they phrase things. She has said she has one red line, and that is that the UK stays together. So, therefore, everything else, I can see it, is up for negotiation.
Well, as you know... there is no consensus at Westminster for any of those softer options, and therefore the party will continue to hammer the line that we must leave Europe very clearly with a clear break.
There's no consensus for no deal either.
In fact, that's the difficulty we're in at the minute, that there's five or six options on the table and no party, no group have a majority. And that's why I think it's important that Theresa May continues her negotiations with Europe to come up with a deal that all those who want to get out of Europe can sign up to.
Armut, Sam, I'm determined to bring this back to our daily lives and you know the lives of ordinary people. That's who listens to this programme, including myself. How vulnerable or not are we, relatively speaking, in Northern Ireland compared to the rest of the UK? Are we as vulnerable or more dependent on what happens with Brexit?
Well, I think that I mean we're in an unprecedented situation. There is no precedent in which we can look back and say here is what happens when something like this happens. But logically, when you look at our situation geographically within the UK, we are further away. We have a sea border, we have a sea between us and the rest of the UK. That is something which is unique. It is not something which, with the exception of some of the islands off the coast of Scotland, etc., there is no major part of the UK which has that. We have a land border with the EU. No other part of the UK is facing that situation. And so therefore, I think there are very legitimate concerns here. I think that Jim is right in one sense that some of what is coming out in terms of the stories as to various elements of what might happen in a no deal are just not seen as credible by the public. The public are very cynical about some of this stuff. But what is also very clear is that this has been a shambolic process. Whatever your view of Brexit, the way in which it is being implemented is really chaotic. There is no sense from the Prime Minister she's in control of things. There's no sense that she knows what she wants to get out of this, much less being able to actually do that. So that level of incompetence, even if you accept that Brexit might be a good thing, it might have benefits and all the rest of it, the way in which it is being implemented, I think gives very little confidence to anybody, whether you're in business or whether you're just an ordinary citizen, that this is something that's going to succeed at this point.
Okay. Sam McBride, thank you. Jim Wells, thank you very much indeed.